Hello everyone, now let's go on to chapter 4, which is exploratory data analysis. So exploratory data analysis is very important for us to understand the patterns in the data. It is a use of techniques that will help you understand what are the inconsistencies in the data, and it will also help me understand where exactly does how machine learning can help me understand the patterns in the data, what is the trend that is following in the data, and all of those. So exploratory data analysis, or EDA, is a crucial step in the data analysis process. It involves the initial investigation and examination of the data set to understand their main characteristics, uncover patterns, detect anomalies, and generate your hypothesis. Basically, what is your understanding of the data will be what we do with the hypothesis. EDA helps analysts to gain insight, identify the relationship between variables, and make informed decision about subsequent analysis or modeling techniques. EDA can also help determine if the statistical techniques being considered for data analysis are appropriate or not. Now, as an analyst, it's very important to ensure that you understand the data. What do I mean by ensuring that I understand the data? How are the variables behaving with each other? What is the relation between the various variables that I have? What kind of modeling techniques will I use? Will I use a modeling technique that can work with numerical data, or do I want to basically learn what is categorical data? Understand the relationships between numerical data and some categorical data. Again, also additionally on that, we will understand what what plotting techniques can work with either, with both of them, or how can I plot this data to understand the data better. Also, like it says in the last point over here, we will also use statistical techniques so that we ensure that the data analysis that is being done is appropriate. So what is the objectives of doing EDA? Identifying and handling or removing data outliers, identifying trends in time and space, uncover patterns related to the target, creating hypotheses and testing them through experiments, and identifying new sources of data. So the first objective is very clear, which is identifying and handling or removing data outliers. So we know what are data outliers. There are basically extremes or beyond the range of our data. And how we've discussed some methods to handle them, and we'll discuss that in more detail right now. Identifying trends in relation to time and space. So when I talk about identifying trends, what is the trend that is happening over a period of time? Now, I can identify trends in time and space only if the time and space fields are mentioned in my data. If they're not, then I will not be able to do exploratory data analysis on this tangent. Again, uncover patterns related to the target. What is the target? Are we trying to predict the revenue? Are we trying to predict the customer segmentation? What exactly is the target? And then understanding how does each of these fields affect what is my target? How do they work with the target or do not work with the target? Creating hypotheses and testing them through experiments. So based on the data, what is my hypothesis and what are the various experiments I can carry out to ensure that data? Identifying new sources of data. Is there some new data that I need to include? Do I need to enrich the data further to be able to get a better and more accurate result? Importance of EDA. Now, the first thing is understanding the data. What does EDA help me with? The EDA helps data analysts and scientists to become familiar with the data set. They are working with allowing them make informed decision on how to approach the analysis and what methods or techniques are suitable for the specific data set. So, like the EDA says, exploratory data analysis. So, it's very important so that for complete understanding, even to ensure, so understand this when I talk about data, any of the machine learning or AI algorithms that I'm going to use with the data, I cannot check whether that algorithm is working correctly or is it making the right direction, is it going in the right direction the way I want it to, is it giving the kind of result that I want it to. But unless I do not have a complete understanding as a data analyst or even as a data scientist. So you have to become familiar with the data set, and that is where EDA comes into the picture. Only then, once I'm aware of how the data set is, how the variables are behaving, do I know that the techniques or methods that I'm using, are they suitable for the data set, or do I need to make some changes to the techniques or methods? And finally, better and informed decisions that I can make. Now, so obviously that comes before you do any sort of data analysis, and as soon as you collect, understand the data. So that's the first step. The second step is data cleaning and pre-processing. So during EDA, data quality issues such as missing values, outliers, inconsistent data can be identified. Addressing these issues is critical for the ensuring the reliability of the analysis and the subsequent modeling process. So here also we have to be extremely careful that I understand. We spoke about this primarily when I was discussing the previous chapter, that is chapter 2 if I'm not mistaken, where I said garbage in is going to result to garbage out. So what is the garbage that I talk about in my data? Is those missing values, system errors, technical errors, programming errors, which result into missing values, outliers, ranges not defined, correct ranges not defined, and due to which the respondent is able to answer anything that they want, and inconsistent data. Again, we're having data from multiple sources, multiple data sets, new forms of data set that we are pulling data from. So it becomes important to address the reliability of the entire data and the subsequent modeling process. Then comes the third point, which is identifying patterns and relationship. So EDA enables the discovery of patterns, trends, correlations, and relation between different variables in the data set. These insights can be valid for formulating the hypothesis, validating assumption, and generating new research questions. So when it comes to the discovery of patterns and trends, correlations, as like I said, it's very important to understand what is the relationship of the different variables in the data set, how are they affecting each other, how are they behaving with respect to the target that we are talking about. Again, why do I need this? Only when I have this information and a complete understanding of the patterns, at least not a complete understanding, most of the understanding related to the pattern or the trends in the data, only then can I formulate my hypothesis. I can make valid assumptions with the data, and based on that, if needed, I will be able to generate new research questions. I will be able to look into what exactly do I want to further analyze with the data. Does it meet my business objective? Data quality assessment. During EDA, can I identify missing values, outliers, and consistencies in the data set, which we've just spoken about? Feature selection and engineering. This is also a part of what we call as PCA. We have spoken about principal component analysis. So here also feature selection and engineering becomes an important part. EDA can guide the process of selecting relevant features or variables for analysis. EDA can also inspire new feature engineering ideas to create more informative features from the existing data. So, like it says, new feature engineering ideas create more information of the features from the existing data. Can I combine multiple variables to get the right features in the data? Visualization and communication. EDA often involves creating visual representations of the data, such as plots, charts, graphs. Visualization make it easier to communicate findings, patterns, and insights to stakeholders and decision makers. So again, a lot of EDA has to do with plots, charts, graphs, visualization, so that my findings can and patterns can be given a better meaning, a quick understanding when I share it with the stakeholders or the decision makers. So, outlier detection and treatment. ADA aids in identifying outliers or anomalies that might skew the data analysis or model. We've spoken about how outliers can impact my data. You can just check the basic information where if you have a set of data, just go and calculate and you have certain values that are outside the range. That is like I mentioned once that I could have an age range from 18 to 45 and all of a sudden I have values up to 98, 97. So those are basically outliers or anomalies in my data. And what they are going to do is they are going to skew my data significantly. So even you can see when you score a sort of good marks in maybe all your papers and just one subject you get a low mark, your average will move through the lower side. So that is the skewness in the data. Iterative data analysis. EDA is often performed iteratively. So data comes, I have to go back to the data, perform the analysis. At times, even after cleaning and editor of the data, I will need to go back and treat the outliers accordingly or treat the data very iteratively. Further, we come on to enhancing domain knowledge, which is since EDA involves a deep study of data and understanding the context behind it, it leads to understanding domain-specific insights. Such knowledge can be valuable for making informed business decision or for generating new research hypothesis. So, when you're performing EDA, what are you doing? Basically, you're going to be deep diving into the data. And since you're deep diving into the data, you begin to understand how the data is behaving, what exactly is the context with the data, probably also where the data was acquired from. So, now what happens is you start getting domain-specific insights on your data, and which is leading to more knowledge about the data, such and this knowledge that you have about the data could be extremely valuable when it comes to business decision making or generating new research hypothesis. So now let's look at the various steps that are involved in EDA. We start with the data collection and the loading. So here what happens is that the data from all the different sources is loaded onto the system and then or whatever tool I'm using, so I would just have all the data collated together. Now, even for me to able to aggregate or merge the data, I would need to know what are the factors that come into existence for this. So we'll go on to the next step, which is data inspection. That means what do I do over here is basically all the data from the different sources are then inspected. This could be inspected for any inconsistencies in the data or in general, how the data is flowing and whether all of this data can be merged together. So once you have done the data collection and you've done the data inspection, the next step is the handling the missing data. So we've spoken about this where we said we can have missing data. It could be technical errors, it could be validation errors and all of that. So it will come result in missing data. And finally, we come down to the data summary and the descriptive statistics. How is the so when we talk about descriptive statistics, we are talking about the general tendencies, and in the general tendencies, we talk about how the data will look and behave. So the mean median mode is primarily what we are looking at. Then we come to the data visualization. That means now I start building graphs, plots, understanding what is my data looking like. Is there any inconsistency in the data that I need to take care of, or do I need to deal with it? What are the kind of inconsistencies? What is the kind of information that is available in the data? Then, so once I've done the data visualization, now my outlier detection becomes even more clearer. Like we said, we are going to use scatter plots, we are going to use maybe a box and whiskers and understand how what are the outliers that I have in my data and how are these outliers going to affect my data. So I get a list of all the outliers in my data. Understand, I could have multiple outliers depending on the multiple sources of data. So it could be that every file has outlier, or there could be no file with no outliers at all. Then we come to the correlation analysis. When I talk about the correlation analysis, what am I talking about is how every variable is related to target, or in case I do not have a target, how are the other variables related to one another? Which also brings us to feature engineering, in understanding do we need to have more variables, more features into the data set, or what we have is enough for me to perform my data analysis. Then I come to grouping and aggregation. Now, aggregation, if I want to basically merge all my data files together. Grouping, basically if I want to look at certain variables together, develop new features, so all of that will come under grouping and engineering. Then I go on to the temporal analysis, and which leads to my data transformation. So by temporal analysis, what I do is I analyze the data and how all the variables are behaving, what is the temperament of the variables, and we come into data transformation. From data transformation, we go to the iterative analysis, document everything and communicate, and that's where I end the entire cycle that I have. So I start with data collection. Iterative analysis would be one step where you would keep coming back, and the documentation and communication would be the end where I document all what I have observed with the data. So now let us look at the types of exploratory data analysis that we have. We have univariate, we have bivariate and multivariate. So basically each one kind of already means what it says. So univariate talks about one variable, bivariate talks about two variables, and multivariate talks about anything more than two variables would we come in multivariate. So let's look at all of these in a little more detail. So in univariate analysis, the output is a single variable and all data collected represents the single variable. There is no cause effect being a single variable. So when we have a single variable, there's nothing more that you can do except analyze the data or understand how the data is trending. So like we have the example here, a graph showing products produced, or a frequency table showing products produced each month for 12 months is just a univariate analysis where you're trying to understand every month what is the production that you're having. Then when it comes to bivariate analysis, now we are talking about output that is dependent on two variables. So here what we are going to consider is a sales revenue from two products A and B. So sales revenue becomes one variable, products become the second variable. So bivariate analysis of these two will say quarterly revenue earned for each one of these products. So it gives us more insight as to quarterly which product is giving you a higher revenue. Then you have the final one, which we call as multivariate analysis. Like I said, anything that is more than two variables comes in the multivariate analysis. That is type of product and quantity sold against the product price, advertising expenses, offer and discounts offered. So you see the number of variables we are using here. We have type of product, which is one variable. The quantity that product sold is second, product price is third, advertising expenses is fourth, and discounts offer is fifth. So now when you're doing an analysis like that, also if you notice, all three would be a combination of all five would be a combination of numerical and categorical. So now this is called as a multivariate analysis, where we have more than two variables and we have multiple measurement levels or multiple data types that are involved. The results of the analysis can be represented in numerical value, visualization, graphical form. Accordingly, they can be further classified as non-graphical or graphical. So what do I mean by that? So like I said, the first example here, it talks about a graph, but I could either have a graph or a frequency table, which would just show me how many products are produced or what is the quantity produced every month for 12 months. Now, each one of these, which is univariate, bivariate and multivariate, can further be classified into graphical, non-graphical and graphical EDA. So that's further categorization. So am I using a frequency table to show the data, or am I using graphs to show the data? Depends over here. Then I have univariate, non-graphical and graphical EDA. So the main aim of univariate, non-graphical EDA is to find out the details about the distribution of the population data. In a data set, it explores each variable separately. It is possible to have for two kinds of variables, categorical and numerical. So now when I talk about univariate non-graphical EDA, I'm not talking about graphical. So I am now looking at probably the frequency distribution or the frequency of every variable separately. So I will basically now have a table which would show me the distribution of each and every variable. So that it can work with two kinds of data, either categorical or numerical. Again, when it comes to numerical data, there is further analysis that I can do, which is general tendency, which is nothing but the mean and mean median mode. Also, the dispersion, which is gradient variance. And finally, the quartile, which is the interquartile range and standard deviation. So we know that for to check the quartiles, I can possibly use a box and whiskers. Then I can use general statistic to check the mean median mode. And I can even use that to check the dispersion, which is the range and the variance. Now, when I do something like this, I can do that. So if I do a quartile, I can do it either in a non-graphical format or like I said, using graphical box and whisker, I can even do a graphical EDA. Again, it depends where do you have to share and what is the data you're looking at. So univariate can be described to frequency distribution tables, non-graphical. Then we have bar charts, pie charts, frequency polygons, box plots, which we spoke about. So depending on what you're looking at, you could use either one of these graphs. Histograms would work with time series data. Pie charts would work to check the distribution on a whole. The bar charts would work probably between two variables. So you might, preferably a bar chart can be used with univariate data, but it is more commonly used with bivariate data. Then bivariate, I have non-graphical and again graphical EDA. Analysis is related to cause and relationship between the two variables. So data can be both numerical and categorical. Again, three types of analysis. We will first check between two numeric variables. So if I have to check the relation between two numeric variables, I will use a scatter plot. A scatter plot represents individual or a linear correlation. A scatter plot uses represent individual pieces of data using dots. These dots make it appear as if the two variables are related to each other, resulting in pattern indicating type, linear or non-linear, and the strength of the relation between the two variables. So that is how I would have a scatter plot. It just basically looks like an entire plot with dots, and each dots indicates a data point in your data. Then I have a linear correlation. It represents the strength of a linear relationship between two numerical variables. If there is no correlation between the two variables, there is no tendency to change along with the values of the second quantity. Linear correlation, or as we call it, the regression would be analysis would be very simple. That what is the chance that will change in one variable to would cause a change in the other variable. So if the strength is not very high, then or there is no correlation, changes in one variable will not affect the second quantity. Primarily, both the bivariate analysis I will do with respect to my target variable if I have one. Then I have two categorical variables. So what will I use? I will use a chi-squared test. I will do a z-test and a t-set, or the analysis of variance. So what is a chi-squared test? The chi-squared test is used for determining the association between categorical variables. It is calculated based on the difference between expected frequencies and the observed frequency in one or more categories of the frequency table. A probability of zero indicates a complete dependency between the two categorical variables, and a probability of one indicates that the two are completely independent. So a chi-squared test, like the name value suggests over here, that higher is the chi-square value, lesser is the probability that the two variables are interrelated, or higher is the probability that the two variables are completely independent of one another. So all the values between for the chi-square test will range between 0 to 1, where 0 means complete dependency, while 1 means completely, sorry, 0 means, yes, 0 means complete dependency, while 1 means completely independent of each other. Primarily, I will look at this when I'm doing a chi square test. So I'm trying to understand the relation between two categorical variables. Then I have a z test and t test, which is again very similar to the chi square, and calculate if the difference between the sample and population is substantial. So again, a z test and a t test will show how close or how the two variables are related to each other. Then you have excellence of analysis of variance, which is ANOVA. The ANOVA test is used to determine whether there is a significant difference among the averages of more than two groups that are statistically different from each other. This analysis is appropriate for comparing the averages of numeric variable for more than two categories of a categorical data. Again, ANOVA test, basically here now what we do is we are comparing the difference between the averages and we are trying to create groups and trying to understand that how is the difference and how different are these two groups from one another. Okay, so we are going to talk about multivariate EDN right now. So like the name suggests and how we spoke about it, multivariate is required when you have more than two variables to be analyzed simultaneously. Now understand, as a human brain, it's very difficult to see how the four variables or five variables in a graph will affect each other. So that's when we actually start using multivariate analysis. Now some of the types is cluster analysis, factor analysis, multiple regression analysis, principal component analysis. So there are 20 different ways to perform multivariate analysis, and which one do you choose depends on the type of data and the end goal to achieve. That means what exactly are you looking for and which data are you planning to work with. So now I come on to cluster analysis. So different objects in a cluster into clusters, classifies different objects into clusters in a way that the similarity between the two objects from the same group is minimum, is maximum and minimal otherwise. It is used when rows and columns of the data represent same unit and the measure represents distance or similarity. So when I talk about cluster analysis, what I do is I break down my data into clusters. So people, objects with similar group come into the same cluster, and objects from different with different and objects from different clusters have the maximum difference between or the minimum difference between them. So I can use it when only when I have same units for measurement, like distance or similarity that is there. Principal component analysis or PCA, again, like we said, when it comes to complex data set, what am I looking at? Reducing the number of interrelated measures or the interrelated variables. So the original variables are converted into a new set of variables, which are known as principal component or PCA analysis. Is used for data set with that shows multicollinearity. So what I'll do is basically create new features which combine multiple features together, thus reducing the number of variables that are basically there in my data. Then I have something what we call as correspondence analysis, which is using the data from a contingency table, shows relative relationship between two and among two different groups of variables. A contingency table is a 2D table with rows and columns as groups of variables. So again, a correspondence analysis is relationship between more than one variables or groups of variables. I've created, basically I'll break down my data set into multiple groups of variables and I will basically check what is the relationship between two or more groups that exist. So it's basically a 2D table with rows and columns as groups of variables. So I'll take two groups and I'll tap them across each other. Okay, what are the various EDA tools that I can probably use? So like before we go on to the EDA tools, like you said, we said there are about 20 different ways, but here we have just discovered a couple of them, which we discuss is cluster analysis, factor analysis, Then we said principal component analysis, correspondence analysis. But there are a lot other analysis that you can perform depending on the kind of information that you're looking for. Now, along with that, I have some what EDA tools or what tools do I use for my exploratory data analysis? Python, most commonly used. So, finding missing values, obtaining data in data collection, data description, handling outliers, obtaining insights into through charts. So, Python is one tool which will give me all this information. I'm going to quickly jump from Python to Jupyter Notebook. So, Python, where it can be even used on a CLI, I can easily combine it with Jupyter Notebooks, which now allows me to combine code, visualization, and even explanatory text in an interactive and shareable format. So, most of the times you will find, so Python also, other than the CLI, I can also use different IDE tools. Jupyter Notebooks is one of them. I can use PyCharm and a lot of other tools. And Jupyter Notebooks is one of the common IDEs for Python. What does it allow me to do? It allows me to quickly write in natural using Python. Python basically allows me to write in natural language. Like I said, natural language is nothing but the language that you and I speak in. So using that, I can put in comments, I can put in code, and I can quickly see the visualizations as I'm typing the code and see the data. So I can even identify any inconsistency in the data, fix it, and quickly see the output by using Python and Jupyter Notebooks together. Then we have R language. R programming is regularly used option to make statistical observation and analyze data. The main reason of using Python also more than R, so you can use a combination, you can use both of them. The only thing is Python allows you along with EDA or the other visualizations and the exploratory, it also allows you to work with machine learning algorithms and all of that for that matter. Tableau, another popular data visualization and business BI tool that offers user-friendly information for data exploration and visualization. So most of these tools, which is Tableau, Power BI, can quickly allow you to use visualization without making without knowing how to code in Python or R or Jupyter Notebook. I would need to know the programming language to an extent, but with Tableau and Power BI, the way it goes is I can drag drop and quickly prepare the connections I need to and quickly analyze and visualize the data. So Tableau is a popular data visualization business and intelligence tool that offers a user-friendly interface for data exploration and visualization. And Power BI is another powerful BI tool by Microsoft that allows users to connect, analyze, and visualize data. It's often used for interactive and dynamic dashboards. You'll find Power BI, Tableau, and Power BI come as multiple versions. They come as desktop versions, online version. The main difference between the two is Tableau comes for the Mac, but Power BI does not come for the Mac. It probably works on Windows system. Then we have Excel. So Excel is widely used EDA again, but Excel can only be used for small data sets. If I have to work with large data set, then I will need to use either Python or R or Jupyter Notebooks along with Tableau or Power BI, because these tools also have the power of combining data of different formats into the tool and still connect the data and visualize the data. With Excel, I can just work with data in Excel or a structured data. Then I have KNIME, which is an open source data analytics platform that allows user to visually create data workflows, perform data analysis, and visualize results. Again, it's more of an open source platform, so it allows you to quickly create all of them. Then we have Orange, which is an open source data visualization analysis that offers a visual programming interface for data exploration and even machine learning. And we have MATLAB. MATLAB, once upon a time, was a very well-known commercial tool which for engineers, since it's that very strong mathematical calculation. It used to, and that's the reason why MATLAB was used for EDA. It requires basic knowledge of MATLAB programming language. So MATLAB is a little difficult to program. So that's the reason it's not being used so frequently right now.